Amen. In 1972, NASA launched a space probe called Pioneer 10. According to Leonard Jaroff in the Time magazine, its goal was to reach Jupiter and to send back data about its atmosphere, about its radiation belts, magnetic fields. Scientists at that time thought this was a bold plan because before then, only probes that went were just past Mars, never as far as Jupiter. They thought the asteroid belts would destroy this thing before it even got to Jupiter. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its goals and much more. By November 1973, it had gone to Jupiter, but then when the Jupiter's powerful magnetic fields took hold of it, it threw it out into edges of space. At 1 billion miles from the sun, it passed Saturn. Then at 2 billion miles, it passed Uranus. At 3 billion miles, it passed Neptune. At 4 billion miles away from the sun, it passed Pluto, which we no longer consider a planet, right? But anyway, 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after it was launched, it was more than 6 billion miles away from the sun. Scientists thought that it would last only for 3 years. But despite the immense distance, it kept sending back radio signals back to Earth that the scientists could decipher. According to Jaroff, he writes, "Perhaps most remarkable are those signals emanating from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much energy as nightlight in your bedroom. And it takes more than 9 hours for the light to reach the Earth. Even a faint message could travel a long distance." I think about this Pioneer 10 probe, and I think about our faith. Often we think it is only those who have great faith that accomplish things for God. Yet, a prayer made with the faintest of faith, an action done perhaps not with energy of a giant, but a small child. Even such actions can have impact that is beyond our imagination. Hebrews 11 lists all the great saints of our faith. And when I was little, whenever we would read that list in church or when my parents would read that list, I was always very jealous of them. I thought, man, those people could do such great things for God. But what about me? What can I do? And I used to wonder what it would have been to feel the faith that they had in God's power and be able to shut the mouth of those lions or put out those raging fires or fight the enemy. They kept their faith. They made a big difference. But this week, as I was reading over this passage again, I was struck by another important lesson. Even though the writer of Hebrews lists all the saints, the great ones, and we have their names, at the end, he has this remarkable passage about all the others who had a faith, but who never received the promise, who never received the fulfillment of those promises in their lifetime. Hear these words. "Others were tortured and refused to be released so they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were stoned to death, they were cut in two, and they died by being murdered with swords. They went around wearing the skins of sheep and goats, needy, oppressed, and mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wander around in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. All these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. Bible tells me that the saints, most of them, didn't experience faith as something easy. And it wasn't easy for Jesus either. And it isn't easy for us. Of course, being a member of a church is an easy thing, and we've made it very easy for you. You come to our church 3 times and you're listed as a constituent. You give a few bucks, bake a few cookies, and you're gonna be a bona fide member in no time. It's so easy to be a member. Yet, to follow Jesus on Monday morning to Friday night, to be a disciple, to do what Jesus said, now that's another story. That's much tougher. I see fire and lightning in Jesus' eyes when he says those words, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled." In the Greek origin, it has the emphasis in the right place. It says, "Pour elthon balein epitangein kaitithelo eide enephthe." Fire I came to cast on the earth, and I wish it was already kindled. Jesus was caught by this fire of God. He knew that God had a plan for the earth. He knew that people could be different. And he knew that our world could be a different place, a place of beauty, truth for everyone. And he wished that people would be captured by this vision, that people would believe it and trust it and follow it. The Jewish people have a wonderful term for that vision, tikkun olam, they say, repairing the earth. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm here to repair the earth, to restore the broken relationships, to put a vision forward of people who could be different, of a world that could be a home for everyone. And it is good news, because he has compassion, he has justice, he has healing, he has love. And yet, because Jesus' words demand a choice, a change, it is also provocative, divisive even. It's a challenge. So Jesus says, you must be baptized with fire. Meaning, we have a choice to make. We can either accept the world as is. We can either say, well, I am just who I am. What can I do about that? Or we could allow God's Spirit to flow through us and begin the work of renewing us from the inside, of having faith to take small actions that might not seem like it's making much of a difference in the world, yet taking that action in faith, knowing that God is already at work in the world, bringing his peace and justice and compassion. It is hard to follow Jesus 24/7. Yet, we know that that's the way to live. He showed us in his own person that he can make a difference. And we here have experienced it in one way or another. Yet, of course, we wish that conversion was something quick, something on the list that we can check off tomorrow. Yet conversion is a lifelong experience. Just as Thomas Edison took one wire at a time and tried, it takes every day for us to become a better person. It takes everyday actions for us to see a difference in the world around us. William Wilberforce was a force in the British Parliament when actions were taken to end slave trade. When he first introduced the bill in 1799, Wilberforce was laughed at, scorned. Polite society of his time rejected him, ostracized him. Even friends turned their backs on him. They thought he was crazy. Yet, from 1799 to 1807, something changed in Britain. By then, public opinion had changed that we must end slave trade, and they did. Yet Wilberforce kept working. He thought not only slave trade, but slavery itself must end. So he kept working at it. A few days before he died in 1833, slavery ended in the British Empire around the world, 1833. But in the midst of his struggles, there were times, he writes, when he was so discouraged, ready to give up, thinking the cause was hopeless. People don't change, world doesn't change. John Wesley, who was then an Anglican priest who founded the Methodist movement, wrote a letter to Wilberforce during that time. And here is a part of that letter. He wrote, "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of people and devils. But if God be for us, for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Be not weary in well-doing. Go on. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might. Till even American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish before it." Wesley encouraged Wilberforce to have faith in God and to take risks, to keep trying every day, because he was burning with the fire of Christ's justice and peace. Wesley summoned Wilberforce to run the race of faith, even if the promise, the hope, wasn't there. Yes, perhaps we should add Wilberforce's name to the wall of fame of Christian saints. But for most of us, I think faith and discipleship are tough issues. To be changed, to change, what a tough thing. Especially trying to change ourselves to become better people. And on top of that, to make a better world. How easy would it be if we could just sign our name electronically on a global campaign to end sin and evil and be done with it. Yet the world doesn't change that easily. The great saint and teacher of the church, Saint Augustine, wrote a prayer which I think a lot of us can identify with. He wrote, "Lord Jesus, don't let me lie when I say that I love you and ask you to protect me, for today I could betray you." This saint of the great church writes that it is a very short step from loving God to telling a lie to God. So I think we can easily identify with all the saints who did not receive the thing promised, at least not in this life, yet kept their faith, no matter how small it was, and took risks when God opened the doors for them. When I was young, I was amazed by these heroes of the church, Daniel, Ruth, Gideon, Deborah. Yet this week, I'm even more amazed that in the eyes of God, it is the saints who keep struggling despite the odds, against the odds, who keep trying because they have faith, who keep taking risks because they know God is still alive in the world. I used to think that Abraham was the great father of faith, and we say that, Abraham and Sarah. In Hebrews 11 and 12, it is clear that as they walked the life of faith, they did not see the promise of faith coming true in their life. You were still a promise. Yet they kept at it. They believed in God. They took risks. Jesus asks us to keep the fire burning. He's saying there's a choice that we can make this week too. We can say, I can't change. I can't change my past. My future is set because of that. Or we can say, today, God's Spirit is living in me, and God can do something new in me. We can look around the world and say, there's nothing I can do. Roy is getting worse even, you might say. Yet, if God's Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, is alive in the world, God is at work. God is changing. The world is becoming the kingdom of God. As Americans, I think we live between two bends. If you look at TV, cable TV, especially Christian channels, you know the name Benny Hinn, don't you? Mr. Hinn is a televangelist who is very famous. He says, if you have faith, you must have results now. If you pray the prayer of faith, God will give you everything that you want and even more. For him, saints who struggle doesn't count. It's only saints who win that counts. And then, of course, we have Benjamin Franklin, our national hero, the American philosopher. Ben Franklin, as you know, was a kind of a deist. He believed that God was good, but he thought God was like an absentee landlord. He didn't care how the grass was cut or if it was painted or what. He didn't get involved in the nitty-gritty of running a world. He didn't even think that this nice God would do anything for us. So between these two Bens, Benny Hinn and Ben Franklin, most of us live, knowing that faith gives us the confidence to take risks for God, to risk ourselves to be changed by this fire in us, to allow God's Spirit to renew us every day, and to work for peace and justice, to see a world that is getting better because we are willing to take risks for God. That Pioneer 10 ultimately died out, yet the data is sent back, even with this small transmitter, has changed science forever. Our faith, no matter how small it is, continues to make a difference. And I pray that this week you will be willing to run with the saints. Yes, chasing after all those great saints, but also remembering all those saints who struggled against hope, against the odds, and believed that God was with them, and that through them, this world is turning into the kingdom of God. Let us run with the saints, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the saints who may not have had the greatest faith, yet who kept taking risks for you, who believed against hope, and who trusted in the words of Jesus, that this world will be kindled with the fire of your love and justice one day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.